Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. This one's called Google is Changing Again. And the reality is, Google's always changing, right? And so part of being a business owner, part of being an e-commerce store owner is always staying ahead of what's changing and constantly adjusting to what the market wants, what the market needs. And a lot of us, whether it's running Facebook ads to cold traffic for the lower ticket items or running your own brand, or for us, running ads on Google or ranking via SEO or whatever it is you're doing, the systems are constantly changing and we need to stay ahead of it. I think this update was all in all a pretty good update for e-commerce store owners, but I wanted to touch on the fact that Google is changing. I think, you know, we've been around 9 years, 10 years at this point, John. We've seen a lot of stuff that, how would you reflect back on the changes that have happened over the years? And like, I don't know, I could see someone listening to this being like, oh, it's changing. I better not even start. Right. I can imagine someone taking that as their fuel, not to even get started, when in reality, it's just, things always change and you have to stay ahead of that and you have to be adaptable as a business owner.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of things have changed over the last 10 years. I can remember, you know, a lot of the Google updates, the ones that had animal names.
Yeah, penguin, panda, yeah.
They've kind of stopped that, it seems, a little bit. And you know what, what I love about what we do is that none of those pretty much had any effect whatsoever. Mm. I mean, I think, you know, Google has over time, I mean, obviously if you're in the SEO space, you know, you'll hear a lot of the SEO nerds getting all riled up about these sorts of things. And, you know, the reality is it ever as bad as people make? It's the same. In the marketing world, like anytime there's a change, certain people just blow it way out of proportion. It was the same with, you know, app iOS changes, and apparently Facebook ads were never ever going to work again for anybody and blah, blah, blah. It was like the marketing apocalypse has come, you know, and everyone's going to, everybody's still running Facebook ads, right? It's changed a little bit. And I think the way we do SEO and our search engine marketing largely over the last 10 years, yeah, Google's done some things and they've always been pretty good at making it about quality. You know, like ensuring quality search results and non kind of hacky approaches to SEO are kind of knocked out. And I don't think, like, yeah, when there's an update, you might see some dips and some upwards and downwards a little bit. But, you know, I mean, we've always been very focused on doing SEO in you know, what you might term as a white hat way, and just focusing on providing customers and people what they're looking for, good quality content. And that's what Google's always wanted. So in that sense, I don't think it's changed. I think, you know, what we're probably going to talk a bit about here is that, and I don't think that's going to change either. Maybe the format of how that's delivered is going to change a little bit, you know, like the content types and that sort of thing. But, you know, I think, yeah, it's good to know about this stuff, but I still go back to the, like, you know, if you're serving your customer, and you know, you're putting some effort into it, I think generally speaking, you're going to be okay.
For sure. I actually think, again, all in all, this was a good update for e-commerce. That was my, you know, put three notes on here. And the very first one is the HCU helpful content update. There's a couple others mixed in there as well. No one's really talking about all of them. All in all, good for e-commerce. You should have, if you've been doing any sort of good SEO, same as I teach in the course, seen a boost. You should have seen it boost with this update. And so, all in all, I think it's really good. They cracked down on blogs, you know, people writing affiliate blogs, if you will. I think there's a lot of people out there teaching them that I respect a lot. Matt Diggity is one of them. But, you know, people writing blogs for the sake of blogs, like, you know, what did we talk about on the last show? Ice Machines, reveal.com would be something like that, where we just went and reviewed ice machines, and that was the whole point of the blog. Are those really helpful? Is that necessary in today's marketplace? Maybe. They kind of crack down on that. There's a term, XEO, John, by the way. I don't know if you ever heard of that. Twitter is huge on X, and there's like two factions. There's the people who think everything Google says is the Bible, and you must believe everything they say. In fact, there was a post the other day that said they have like a 10-person team just doing technical SEO for these big sites. And that if they... I'm not even going to go there. It's pretty out there what they said about 10 people. Can you imagine if we had 10 people working on technical SEO? That's a swamp. Anyway, but it's very much like leaning into the new green agenda of like why these 10 people need to be there and lower your footprint and how that helps Google. It's wild stuff. And then there's the other people who are like, yeah, I actually test this stuff and here's what's ranking and here's why it's working. And hopefully we can show you that on the show today too, of like literally one of my sites and what happened. But all in all, you should have seen a boost. You should have hopefully been doing things right in the first place, which not only helps your site organically, but as you mentioned in our private Slack, our members only Slack the other day, that if you do good SEO, you end up having great shopping ads as well, right? And your merchant center feed ends up working really well, which can lead to free clicks, which can lead to, you know, where the puck is going, in my opinion. So all in all, I think this was a good update. I saw huge boosts. I think we saw boosts across our portfolio. There are a few things that have popped up since then that I want people to be aware of. But other than that, I'd be curious, have you seen anything directly? Did you notice any shift in the SERPs or in your search console in the last 6 months?
If you've been getting tons of value from the podcast and you want to learn more about high ticket dropshipping and interact with a fantastic community of high ticket dropshippers, we've got a free Facebook group that you can join right now today. So if you head over to Facebook and search for Dropship Breakthrough, you'll see a Facebook come up that has on the end of it, High Ticket Dropshipping Mastery for New Entrepreneurs. Hit the join button, you'll get into the group. We do group only trainings in there, and there's thousands of other people who are going through the high ticket dropshipping journey that you can look for support from, ask questions, and find out if high ticket dropshipping is for you. I think, the sites that I look at, certainly, I mean, there's an upward trend happening anyway. And that just continues in all of them, to be honest. And like I say, I've never gone through in any of the sites that I've been running a Google update and seen a significant downturn. I've seen like a little bit of, in the month or so after they put one in, and that's normal. Oftentimes they'll do it and they'll realize they overcorrected too far and they'll readjust the something and you'll bump back up again. But I mean, I've never had a site that's like, there's been a Google update and then it just starts going down and down and yeah. down and down. Like that's never happened to me once. I mean, it's happened to some really big companies that, you know, there's the famous eBay story from one of the first animal updates where they lost like 40% of their traffic overnight, not because they were intentionally hacking SEO. It's just they had so much rubbish content on their platform that they lost like 40% of their pages, just got de-indexed overnight, you know, and that was a massive business. You know, so, I mean, it can happen, but I really think, you know, all the deep, I don't get as far into it as you do with the SEO nerd stuff, but the deep Twitter's conversations great, man. And the deep arguments, I kind of find it a little bit amusing because to me, SEO is really simple and it gets way overcomplicated. Like if I look at people that we work with ourselves, students in our course who are doing really well with organic traffic, I mean, they're not doing anything wild. They're not doing anything secretive or like, you know, deep SEO hacks or anything like that to rank. They're just finding keywords, structuring their site well, you know, doing their on-page SEO, doing their technical SEO, and then putting together some good content that targets those keywords. Like, shock horror, that still does work, you know? And that's to me, and then doing it consistently, right? To me, that's still, for e-commerce, for high-ticket dropshipping at least. I mean, yeah, if you're out in some other SEO land, maybe things are different. But the way I see it, you know, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Look, I pulled up two things. I'll share them. I can't share them live, unfortunately, folks, but I'll share them with you after literally double traffic since the inflection of this update, and then I'll share you that tweet afterwards, John.
It's hilarious.
But I do want to mention one thing, right? So to your point, just do the right stuff. We teach it in the course. Just do good keyword research. Give Google what it wants, and truly help your customer in the process, which is also Google's customer, right? So we're serving Google and we're serving our customer. And in the end, we're just serving our customer. You're never going to have to worry about these updates, but you should be paying attention. You should see where the puck's going and what the issues are, which is why I'm so deep in the Twitter. I like to pay attention to people who are actually testing stuff. And one of the things that came up was, I think if any of you have ever plugged your site into a tool to go look at who's linking back to you, you might see, I've got 200 links. I don't remember getting 200 links, but I've got 200 links. That's amazing. And often it's links, people who are scraping you. I genuinely don't know why they do this, but it's like sites that scrape your content and then link right back to your content. Lately, it has been linking back to your images on said page. And if you remember back to one of those animal updates you were talking about, there was one of the updates that said you can't use exact match text, right? So if I was selling pellet grills and I wanted to rank for pellet grill back in the day, I would just go get a million links that all said the word pellet grill that was clickable to me. That was the hypertext clickable to me. Mm-hmm. And Google was like, oh, okay, great. You guys, you know, you broke the system. You found an edge and they slapped you with either Penguin or Panda or one of those updates. And so these sites are now like linking back to your article using the exact match anchor text of like your product, whatever the title of the page is, they're linking to that. And so inevitably, once you get more of those than you get good links, you end up starting to get punished by Google. And there used to be, I also believe this theory, there used to be a theory that Google would see the bad links and would just ignore them. And I think they do to a point, but now it's getting out of hand, right? And so I had a website where we have well over 100 good links, but we had hundreds of those scraper links. And we just started to see, not like, you know, from 100 to zero, but like 100 to 95, 90. And we were like, what has happened? What changed? And I was turned onto this by Grindstone is what he goes by on Twitter. A great SEO. He turned me onto this. And so far it seems to be working by creating a disavow file, which, you know, can be a pain in the ass, if I'm honest with you, especially when there's hundreds of these links, but it turns out to be a thing after a little bit. And so I just wanted to kind of point it out that, like, overall seeing huge boosts in e-commerce, but I'm also seeing, like, you know, random things pop up. And I think we should be as transparent as we can with our audience of like what we're seeing and why we're seeing it and the changes we're making in our own businesses. And so that's one for me of, I spent hours one day creating a very big disavow file. And so far things are trending back in the right direction.
Nice.
And I had one other thing too that I wanted to point out. So this is something I chatted with Mr. Grindstone on a call. He kind of showed me this. I've been doing research ever since, and I'm starting to agree. And I'll preface this by saying, if you are in our course or came to either one of our live events last year, I did a presentation kind of on how we need to move probably not only doing written content, but other content, whether that's podcast or shorts or long form video content. We probably need to move there in the near future. I think that's where the puck is going. And now the puck, I think, kind of shifted a little bit on Google's side, and I just wanted to talk about it. So think of any commercial term that you may show up for in your business. Often you'll see ads as you would. That's we sell products, we're gonna run ads too, right? And so you'll often see the shopping ads, maybe a couple text ads, but I think Google search results, given that AI is coming to eat all of our lunches at someday, that they can answer a lot of questions. Their core business model is still ads. They need you to click ads. Mm-hmm. And so I think they've really shifted to how else can we get people to pay us outside of ads, so as that Google always has a business. And again, I think that relates back to the video, because now they're serving all these new chunks in the search engine results, right? So like, I mentioned before the call with John, he asked me to share this. So I'll just share it with you. A term that I would really like to rank in my pet business is glucosamine for dogs. We've worked really, really hard on this. But as you can see in this image, if you're watching on YouTube or on Spotify, top row is all shopping. Google gets paid, right? So think how Google gets paid when you come search something. So top row, Google gets paid if you click one of these. These two text ads, Google gets paid if you click one of these. Sneaky, they shove more shopping back in here and make it not look like shopping, even though it's still more shopping ads, right? Next up is people also ask. So you haven't even gotten to a result for this term before you're getting, you know, pay me some more, or is there some questions we can answer for you before you pay us ultimately? And this allows you to stay on the page if people click in these questions, right? They don't leave Google. The first result is the one probably getting all the clicks. I have no data on this because I have yet to get to number one, but we are number two. But the interesting part is you had shopping ads, two text ads, more shopping ads. People also ask, one organic result. Forums of now Google is paying Reddit. I wouldn't be shocked if they have a deal with Quora at some point as well to use their data in their LLM, their large language model, their ChatGPT, if you will. It's called Gemini. So you're getting these discussions coming up, right? Some people will say this is part of helpful content. Again, getting you real answers, not, you know, the New York Times telling you what you should think about something. And then here's us, as you can see, right? So we're number two. And I know just by looking at the impressions, right, there's nearly 15,000 searches a month, and the number of clicks we got, which is under 100 in the last 30 days, that people just aren't getting down there far enough on the page. And that, you know, again, to John's point, we need to do good SEO so that we have good shopping ads that show up, whether they're free, whether they're paid. We need to answer customers' questions so that we show up in the people also ask section. I wouldn't be shocked if moving towards answering questions in forum is a big part of a strategy moving forward. I'm shocked that we don't see a shorts thing. I bet if I scrolled further down the page, there's actually some shorts here. So you will see TikToks, you will see shorts on Google, you will see reels on Facebook, on Instagram, show up answering these questions that people have around some of these commercial terms. And, you know, that goes back to my presentation in Minneapolis and Australia on where I think the puck is going here. And so I don't want anyone to look at that and be deterred from doing SEO. The reality is if you weren't number one, you weren't getting really any clicks in the past, but now it's really the case, right? And so we should all be striving to be number one. This is a massive term for my business. The fact that we're even number two thrills me, and I hope we can get to number one and we can take over the behemoth that is Amazon. But you know, right now, we're just not seeing a lot of clicks in that second position. And it's clear Google's moving towards, please click on something that either makes you stay here or, you know, lets us get paid, whether that's a shopping ad, a text ad, more shopping ads, going to YouTube to watch shorts, they're getting paid, going to YouTube to watch a video, they're getting paid, going to Reddit, they're using that, they would probably call that a wash if you're going to Reddit since they're paying for their data. Just kind of interesting where I think it's going. And look, I might be wrong too, but this is kind of what I'm seeing.
Mm. Yeah, look, and I kind of think they'll, you know, I mean, I think there's going to be rapid changes across Google, you know, over the coming years as well, you know, AI becomes more and more advanced and that sort of thing. I mean, what search, and we've seen like looks into the future of what Google's going to look like around the place as well. And it's even wildly different to what you see right now. And so I think it is going to change particularly in the commercial space. And, you know, I think as well, there'll probably be some, you know, what you do see with Google is you do see some walk back and things like that over time. The bit that surprises me the most about those results is the forum stuff, like that section they've inserted in with Quora and Reddit and stuff like that. Because, man, Quora, like Reddit's wild. Quora's even worse. Like that place is just a cesspool of like leading question answer stuff, and like 95% of it's incorrect. So like it's terrible. I used to be on there. I used to go on there years and years ago and answer people's questions on there about a range of different stuff, and it just got so trashy. It was good at one point, but then it just got like real trashy. I wouldn't be, I could see them taking that out at some point. I don't think that adds any value. But yeah.
I think that was part of their deal, right? They paid $60 million for the data to put that in Gemini, right? And so,
yeah, true.
$60 million is nothing, by the way. They got ripped off. Reddit got destroyed on that deal. Yeah. And so, like, you know, them being jumped up into the search results, I guess is a fair deal. If they got more users, I don't know. I'm seeing people, again, I'm pretty deep on some of the black hat stuff too. Like I pay attention to it. And so you can go buy old Reddit accounts now so that you can go post something and it actually gets traffic and shows up in the SERPs. And like, you know, people are playing whatever game Google's allowing you to play it, which it will eventually get slapped as well. And hopefully you and I, as you mentioned, teach stuff that will last a long, long time and just, you know, continue to serve our customers, which is what really matters.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it as well, obviously that term that you demonstrated there is quite a commercial term, sort of middle of funnel type term, if you like. You know, I think at this point, those changes don't really carry across to more top of funnel search terms. Primarily probably because for like, you know, if you're thinking about SEO and, you know, you're gonna go after those search terms that are closer to the bottom of the funnel quicker, earlier probably, but over time you're going to get more into the sort of top of funnel search terms where there's not really going to be many advertisers. You know, like there's a lot of You know, like if people are asking questions like, my dog's got a sore leg, what's going to fix it? You know, my dog's got bad mobility. Like, obviously, glucosamine might be the answer for that at the end of the day. But when somebody makes that search, they're not going to get like tons of shopping ads and people advertising. They might get people advertising, I suppose, glucosamine products at that point. But I think for those more information-based searches, I don't see that Google's going to, at this point, like commercialize it as much. So I think...
Yeah, I'll show you one, right? To your point, again, I think largely we were helped by e-commerce. So do air purifiers help with cat litter smell? They're still shoving some ads in here, right? Someone's getting the schema box. This is a wonderful thing that you should try to have. Again, they're shoving people also ask. Reddit, Quora, right? There's still some garbage in here, which is wild. But, you know, here we are, right, with our blog, which is, there's nothing to this blog, right? We just answered the question. And so I think it's that long tail, top of funnel thing that, you know, this is what John and I often talk about, is that SEO is a much bigger lever to pull in your business than ads, right? So get ads going. But if you can fill this top of the funnel of like the problems people are trying to solve and they don't even know they need your product, that's where the real traffic comes in, and we can get on top of this stuff, right? I think e-commerce stores got a huge boost on these long tail, top of funnel questions versus keywords, comparing brands, things like that over this update. And a lot of the blogs that we used to kind of compete with on those terms just kind of got pushed to the wayside. And so I'm more bullish than ever on e-commerce. I think this actually helped a lot, especially if you're doing the right things. And like you said, top of funnel is going to be where all the traffic exists in the first place.
Yeah. So if somebody's listening to this right now and thinking, oh, well, things are changing and feeling a bit nervous about, what should they be doing? Should they be doing the work? Like, I mean, what's the actual message? What should people be doing right now when it comes to SEO? Does this change anything?
No, I don't want to toot my own horn, but fucking toot toot. Like, get in our course. I think everything I've taught and the people that have followed what I've taught and what you were teaching before me, John, they're thriving right now. Like, we have some partners now. Again, we try to partner with some of our best students. If that's you, reach out. We'd love to talk about that with you. But like, we're seeing people get these huge boosts. I'm seeing them on my own businesses. I'm seeing them on my friends' businesses who are doing the right thing. And so I would just encourage someone to learn from the right person. You know, you and I came from, we've mentioned this before, we came from a different course. Both of us did 10 years ago, 9 years ago at this point. There's still nothing being taught in there, right? I had to go learn all of this stuff on my own. You had to learn it all on your own. And I would just encourage people to, you know, learn from the right people and take the right actions. And then you're gonna reap the rewards. If you just do the work, you're going to reap the rewards. So I wouldn't turn anyone away. In fact, I think I mentioned this before, I think this is a huge opportunity right now for people to do the work and get out in front of this stuff and answer questions, and then hopefully transition that into video and short content, which is something John and I are about to test here as well. And so I encourage people just to get started and go learn from somebody. And again, I'm tooting my own horn here. Go learn from somebody who's actually got proven results and not somebody who can just say, you know, I've done this in the past, or I've ranked a blog. Like, go learn from somebody who has ranked a high ticket dropshipping business multiple times, and don't be shocked when you learn the right shit.
Yeah. And I think the thing to keep in mind as well, I mean, like the opportunity in so many high ticket niches, which are not spaces that have been affiliate marketed to death or anything like that. Like, the SEO space is still wide open. Like, in 2024, that's shocking to me. I mean, it's surprising. You know, I mean, your glucosamine for dogs, anything for pets is hugely competitive, right? So as an example, not much in the high ticket dropshipping world is that competitive. There are some things for sure, but there are so many things. And, you know, one of our students put up an idea for us to do a good niche, bad niche on like products for road construction or something like that. And it's like, I bet you if we went and researched that, and we might do it for an upcoming episode, there'll be like literally nothing happening there, like nothing happening there from the SEO perspective. And so, you know, the opportunity to me is still huge. Yeah, I think things are obviously going to change in the coming years about how we do it. But for our little slice of the SEO world in high ticket dropshipping, I mean, the door's wide open. People just need to start walking through it.
I actually like look at, you know, we've done good niche, bad niche things. I actually like look at that niche selection only through an SEO lens. Like, that's kind of how I see the world. Maybe we should do an episode on like that. Like, I'm curious. You know, we teach away in the course. I bet even that has evolved over time with you, how you think about this stuff. And so, like, I'm happy to share how I look through a keyword lens at, like, whether this is a good or bad thing. But you're right. Like, it's very rare I hop in one and go, everything's been done here. There's no opportunity. It's just like most people just don't do the work. I don't know. I think there's so much opportunity. Heck, we found it on ice machines in the last episode, right? Like, there's opportunity everywhere. I don't think anyone's out there doing all of the work possible, that's for sure.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.